You control what's under your roof. You control the volume of love. You control the volume of anger or jealousy or hate or resentment, whatever it is. And if you can manage what's under your roof, when your children walk out, whether they're biological or step, they will find success.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt here with the Husband and Law Podcast. This is where we share our stories of love, ex-love, marriage, ex-marriage, divorce, ex-divorce, and coming out of a closet that needed to be opened, and so much more. This podcast is for those who are looking to up their relationship game by understanding first yourself, and then others, like your wife, your husband, and your wife's ex-husband, on a whole new level. Welcome to the Husband and Law Podcast. Let's get this party started.
My friend, if you have been looking for support on your step-parenting journey, either as a stepmom or a stepdad, I am so excited because today I have two amazing resources for you. First and foremost, registration is open for the Stepmom Summit that is completely free. It gives you access to so many experts who are in the step-parenting field, as well as other women who are going through something similar as you. I wish I had this when I started my journey as a stepmom 10, 11 years ago. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been almost 11 years. But this is the thing I really needed. I needed to feel seen. I needed to know I wasn't crazy and that I was okay. So if you would like a free spot to the Stepmom Summit, you can head to the link in our show notes and pick it up there. I highly encourage you to go check that out and take advantage of that now. Now, today, on today's episode of the Husband Law Podcast, we have Ginger joining us, and I am so excited for you to meet her. She is a loving wife to her husband and a dedicated mother to five children. She is also a co-founder of the Family Core organizational platform with a mission focused on helping families manage and organize day-to-day responsibilities with a generational mindset. Now, the super cool thing about Ginger's story that you're going to hear today is that she developed this platform because of her experience as a stepmom and as a blended family. She is driven by her faith. Ginger aims to positively impact the kingdom through serving her families globally. She strives to spread the message of faith, love, and the value of family to those around her. She is deeply committed to her faith and her family and is striving to create harmonious balance between the two in her life and everyone she encounters. You guys, she has been through the ringer in her stepmom journey, and she is here today to share with us that experience and also has an amazing offer for you at the end of this chat that we have today. And I am going to drop a little hint here. It is free. So you'll definitely want to check this out. It is going to change your blended family, your step family, or even your nuclear family. It's going to change your life. So send you love and let's get into it with Ginger. Ginger, I am so excited and happy to have you here. I always love talking to you. You and I have had several conversations over the last like month and a half or so, and it's like we could just keep talking forever.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm totally blessed to spend the time with you today.
Yeah. And I've heard bits and pieces of your story, and today I'm excited to dive into that a little bit more. So let's dive in. Tell us a bit of your story, and then we'll get into all of the awesome things that you have to offer.
Sure. So I'm a mother of five and a wife to my amazing husband. We, over the last 15 years, have started and sold several companies. So we enjoy working together. We are a blended family. So we have five children that are his, hers, and ours. So when my husband and I met and decided to merge, I had a 12-year-old boy and he had a 7 and 4-year-old girl. In the interim of all of that, we decided to add in two more, which is another girl and a boy. So that's what kind of cultivates our large family. And we love the big family life. With that, we went through a couple different parenting styles in our merge. So on my side, we brought in a parallel co-parenting situation where even prior to the birth of our oldest son, his father and I had decided that we were just going to parallel parent. And that seemed to work for us. And on the girl's side, on my husband's side, we walked into what we thought was going to be an amicable situation, ended up being an 8-year custody battle with an extremely litigious ex-wife. And all in all, it actually turned out to be a blessing because it nurtured us into who we are. And it really, with the blend of our three oldest children, it actually formed, it was kind of like the analogy of taking two broken cups, if you will, blending them into one and then making a masterpiece at the end. And then just adding the two more children, and the sibling factor between the five of them is amazing. We have a 20-year age gap between our boys, and we just really see it as a blessing. So That's who I am. That's what we do. That kind of brought us to the reason why you and I met.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more, like, what was it like bringing your arse kids in? Because I haven't had that experience. And it always makes me curious. Like, it's all across the board. Everybody has different experiences, but how has that been for you guys?
Sure. It's been really good. We were a bit nervous because our third child down had been kind of the queen of the castle because she mm-hmm. was the baby for quite some time. When we let them know that we were bringing another one in, I don't think any of them knew how to react, but the moment that they saw her, it was no holds bar. The love just continued to overflow. Now you fast forward 10 years and our middle girls, they can fight with the best of them and love the strongest. So they can, you know, want to poke each other's eye out in one breath. And then they're like hugging and snuggling in the next. And God only knows what happened. When we decided a couple years later, because there's a 4-year age gap between the two youngest, when we surprised the kids, we made Hershey bars and put a wrapper around it that said, you're going to be the greatest, like big brother or big sister. And so, that was exciting for them. And we knew the gender was going to be male. And so they had a little bit more time to prepare for it. And again, the second that they saw him, they just fell in love with him. And so when we had our last boy, our oldest boy was in the Navy. So he flew home, was here the day he was born. And it really kind of closed up who we were. Like even with four, we knew we weren't done. On our first date, which you're going to be like, oh my God, why did you even think to marry? On our first date, my husband had said, we're going to get married and we're going to have 10 kids. I still said yes. We compromised at 5 and here we are. So bringing those to just come back around, circle back around, to bring the R's kids in, it can be a little nerve-wracking and you have to be respectful to each individual's birth order, I would say. But really, if you teach them to love and respect each other, I mean, one day my husband and I will be gone and we hope that their relationship carries on. But it seemingly wasn't that difficult. I know that it can be, but again, it's almost like people say, you know, we raised the first three and now we have these two little ones, which the game is different. So The older three, you raised them to, you know, be very diligent, not make mistakes. Now, my husband and I are much older. So the behavior and the tolerance and the you know, just go ahead and do that. Just don't get hurt kind of mentality is there. And our older three kids, especially our older two who are male and female, they're like, are you seeing this? That one's swinging a hatchet. And we're like, well, you know, it's as long as he doesn't bleed, we're good.
They'll figure it out. They're fine.
It's fine. As long as everybody has a pulse in the morning and at night, we're all good.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys went through an 8-year custody battle. And I'm assuming that kind of was the catalyst to what you do now and the work you do. Well, some of the work you do. But tell me, like, was there a point in there, like, what was the low for you? Was there a moment that you remember that, like, you were just like, this is my low?
I think anyone that has been involved in the court system, you have a faith in authority because that's America, right? Mm-hmm. The police are there. The judicial system is set in place. You think that everything's just going to be by the book and so structured. Well, it's not. And so there were times where knowing that the ability for my girls to be injured, hurt, lost was there. And it was there every time we exchanged them. The unpredictability was so high. So when and if there had to be any form of authority that had to get involved, even on an exchange or, doing a well check, anything, you would hope that the system would then set in. Well, again, in America, everybody has their day in court. And we were actually embarrassed to have a judge say, I have never seen two parents in court more than you, and you should be embarrassed. And so I think that that's where it got extremely low, because as long as the money train continued, the next court date was set, or we were being served for allegations that weren't true. And so again, being stuck in that court system, nothing's being done. My children have threats on them continually. I think that that for my husband and I became a low, and it literally got to the point where, you know, she meaning biological mom, if she could separate us, then her job was done and it would all be over. So several times I thought to myself, we can just stop and she will stop and the kids will be safe. But we pressed on and continued to pray diligently every day, really with what we felt was no answers, but truly in our lowest points was when we thought that the system would step up and they didn't. And it happened several times, multiple times throughout those 8 years. And we went through custody evaluations several times and got ordered to go to psychiatric evaluations and people in our home and taking photographs of my Tupperware drawer and, you know, things like that to make sure that I was a proper parent. And at the time this was going on, I mean, like I said, I was a mom for 12 years and had been a single mom and had been, you know, like I had mom. And so to have somebody question your value, it just continued to beat us to a low point. But I think having to release my children into the care of an individual that should love my children, but was just such a high risk to them, brought me to my low almost every exchange. Because then you're just worrying constantly.
Yeah. And I think something that people don't realize when they haven't been through like a custody battle or when there's false accusations being made is that hypervigilance that kicks in of like monitoring basically everything you do. And it is exhausting. I mean, I have been there and it is so exhausting. And you do get to the point where you're like, why are we staying together? Like, this would just be better if I was gone or if he was gone or whatever. I remember at one point bringing up the idea of like, well, what if when the kids are home, the weeks we have the kids, you and I live separately, and then I come back the week the kids are gone.
right, exactly. And that's not how marriage was created, right? And if you look at it as the example, like we had this conversation, you're modeling what you hope your children will display or feel later in life. And so I want my children to feel love and have a partnership that is unbreakable. And if we showed them that a third party can break it, right? We're not really living out our Bible verse in our family is Mark 10:9. What God has joined together, let no one separate. And she and the system tried extremely hard to separate us. Now, our two oldest children from the get-go said, we're never getting married. We're never getting married. We're never having children. Of course, now that they're 26 and 21, I think the perspective is different. But again, you try and model it. And when somebody is just constantly prowling to damage it, you're right. It is completely exhausting. And we have spoken to so many couples that have been there. And it's really hard when you tell someone, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel if you could just stick it out. So they kind of feel like I'm looking right at the head of a train coming at me instead of in the reverse of there's light at the end of the tunnel once you get to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is like that balance of the, you know, toxic positivity and just being reality of this sucks. Like, I feel you, this is hard. And also you can be okay. It doesn't mean you have to power through, but if you want to, you can get to the other side of this. Cause man, navigating co-parenting is definitely a humbling experience.
It sure is. And with the statistic, today's statistic, the divorce rate is going down for primary families, but in secondary families where you're blending or bringing in children, it's a 70% divorce rate. And that is high. If somebody told me I had a diagnosis and I had a 70% chance of dying, you know, that's a huge doom and gloom. When you fall in love and you're in a second marriage or relationship, you're like, 70%? Oh, I'm going for it.
70%. I can be that 30%.
Exactly. I'm going to be that very small percentage or piece of the pie. So
I feel like that's something now I need to transfer over into other parts of my life. Be like, hell yeah, I've got this. I've got 30% chance. I've got 20% chance.
Exactly. I'm going to pull out into traffic with a 30% window. Yeah, I'm on.
Exactly. Okay, maybe not in that situation.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh man. Well, thank you for sharing that. Like, it is just such a hard thing to go through and to experience. And there is a lot of shame that comes when people don't understand what it's like to be in a blended family. I remember hearing people at church or in my family, I don't know, talking about, I remember one specific blended family growing up and hearing people talk about them. And so much judgment that was said about this family of, you know, well, the stepmom's jealous of the dad's relationship with the kids. And then, and I'm like, well, no crap she is, because I'm like, now as a stepmom, I'm like, well, no crap, because he's had these kids and it's easy to love them. And now you're trying to figure out all this stuff and it feels like they get all the love. And I don't know, but there were just so many things that were said that I'm like, man, until you're in it, you really don't understand how hard it is and how many different things you're navigating and sorting out. And my heart right. goes out to all of the co-parents and step-parents and everybody.
For sure. I think that society in general, and this is around the world because we talk to people around the world, society in general puts a stigma on step-moms and they put a hero coat on step-dads, right? Wow, look at him. He stepped in. He's doing the job. And moms, I think truly stepmoms truly get the sense of, you know, you're always going to be second place and you know, the kids are never going to truly love you like you're their biological mom. And you know, you and I both know with the relationships that we have with our considered stepchildren is phenomenal. And it is phenomenal. And one of the important values that stepmoms need to understand is you can only control what's under your roof. So at night, when you shut and lock that door, you control what's under your roof. You control the volume of love. You control the volume of anger or jealousy or hate or resentment, whatever it is. And if you can manage what's under your roof, when your children walk out, whether they're biological or step, they will find success in what you've given them as a stronghold. And yeah. So I think a lot of women are just so boggled down by the title that they've gotten mm-hmm. and they don't have to live by that. They don't have to live by that. And I don't, because the girls had come into my life at 4 and 7, I immediately got to be that biological standard for them because that was the stability. And so I continued to create stability for them. They're both probably A-type driven people because of that. And we got a bunch of A-types running around our castle.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really is true. I mean, I saw a meme about moms and stepmoms and stepdads the other day, and it's so true. Like, stepdads are praised for stepping in and doing all of these things and teaching kids to ride bikes, like whatever. I always think of that one because Matt taught Penny how to ride her bike and all of this stuff. But if a stepmom does those things, we are villainized because we are overstepping our bounds and it's not our place. And they have a mom. Who do you think you are to take their place? I'm like, I'm not trying to take anybody's place. I'm just trying to show up for these kids when they're in my home. Like, that's all it is.
Exactly. Under your roof, in your home, you're showing up. And eventually they recognize who is showing up.
Yeah.
And that is so important and so valuable because you're teaching them how to love in their outer world, because then they know who to show up for, how to show up, and what it's worth because you showed up for them.
100%. Yeah. Okay. So let's go to this work that you are doing now. And I am so excited that you guys are doing this, that you followed your heart, that you followed, as you talk about, God gave you this vision and you've just ran after it. So what is it that you guys are doing now to support step families or blended families?
So we, my husband and I, in this 8 years of time, continue to pray and continue to be faithful to silence. And of course, in retrospect, it was never silence. He was just giving us one more challenge after the other. Iron sharpens iron. And him and I were sharpening each other through the direction that the Lord was giving us, that we were blind to the knowledge. 8 years later, when we were about to get custody of the girls, which we were granted through the court system, and it was a fantastic win, so that we could give them more stability. Saturday mornings, my husband lets me sleep in a bit. And during that sleep in, the Holy Spirit had came to me and said, hey, you're going to make an app. The 8 years that you've been praying was not unheard. This is what your app is going to do. This is who it's going to serve. This is what the logo is going to look like. And God will provide. So he said, now tell your husband. So I'm yelling for my husband. My husband runs in the room and I said, hey, I'm all excited, right? I think it makes so much sense because I'm just a huge organizational type of person. I said, hey, the Holy Spirit says we're going to make an app. And he was like, an app for what? And I said, we're going to make an organizational app for families, with an emphasis on blended families, because it's so hard for people to co-parent and communicate. And he was like, yeah, go back and tell the Holy Spirit that that's not our line of work. and he was dead serious at that. And he said, go back to sleep. So he's an early bird. So he got up and had his coffee and the Holy Spirit started on him and said, this is what I put you through. This is what the app should look like. Mm. This is what it should do. She's not wrong. This is what I said. And so he started to, he immediately long-term borrowed our kids' crayons and highlighters and pencils. And he started drawing it out and said, you're not wrong. This, like, if we had this when we were doing this over this last 8 years, it would have brought the litigious view down tremendously. So he said, we're going to give it a shot and just see what happens, because I'm not sure. This is not what we do. So we got a developer. And of course, all of a sudden, these people start showing up saying, oh, well, I know a developer and I know, you know, a business planner and I know. And so it just started coming out of the woodwork. We develop an app for better communication, organization, and launch it just to see if the Holy Spirit knew what he was talking about. And within a very short period of time, with no marketing at all, we ended up on 6 continents. And so we were like, oh, he wasn't wrong. Let's go back and redevelop this. So we went back and redeveloped it and then launched it. And then straight away, we're meeting a tremendous amount of families. We're speaking on different stages to really focus on blended families. Go back and do the analytics, and we've got just as many busy nuclear families that are starting to say, my family is much better run like this. My kids, we're never late for pickups. My husband and I are communicating better because it's a better balance of who's going where and who's doing what. Our chats with our kids are more communicable. They're interjecting more. Our communication level has gone up. So suddenly we have blended families on it that are co-parenting better. We've got parents that are co-parenting that don't do it well at a litigious level, but they're able to do it now for the benefit of the child. We've got busy nuclear families that are using it. We got reached out. Actually, one of our attorneys, paralegals, reached out and said, hey, my mom and dad both got diagnosed, and my siblings and I are having a hard time working through medication, who's picking them up, who's taking them to the doctor, what the doctor said. Can we use your app for that? So then it opened up to people caring for aging parents so that siblings, you know, mature siblings are able to do that. I had a rancher reach out and say, you know, I always have a dozen horses at a time that I need to follow their shot records and, you know, horseshoe records and selling, you know, the different documents and things like that when you sell a horse. So then we had people on like doing livestock on the app. So managing whatever. So we call those paw parents. So whenever you see your family, all of a sudden people around the world were using this app, and it just blew us away, because the bottom line is if you can manage your core family for the generation to come, everybody benefits, right? It's all in one place. There's better communication, or there's better communication without direct communication. So the child isn't carrying permission slips back and forth, or court orders back and forth, things like that. Yeah. So we were just super excited to see the benefit that families around the world were having. And then we found out that whether you're in China or Australia or Egypt, wherever it is, we're still having the same parenting issues or co-parenting issues, right? It's all the same. So again, now that we're a couple years in, the Holy Spirit starts working on my husband. Like, you've reached six continents, but if you made it free, if you made a free version, you would reach everyone at a price point that nobody, that they can embrace their family. And in today's economy, having it free so that everybody can get back to the basics, like COVID taught us that, right? Getting back to the basics of your family. And so since then, he has made it his mission to make it free. So on the 10th, when this podcast launches, you will be able to sign onto our webpage and start a freemium model so that you can start connecting with your family better. So we were excited. And when Jess reached out and said, hey, I want to podcast with you and I want to launch it, what day is good? There was no better day in God mixing this all together than the 10th.
So exciting. I love that. And I love, like, I'm thinking now all the ways that we need to utilize it in our family. I'm like, oh, maybe this would help Steve be on time. Maybe, probably not, but maybe at least he would know what's going on more. better than the shared Google calendar that he doesn't.
doesn't look at. Yeah. Make sure it's on the calendar, and then he'll get a reminder of where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be, and who he's supposed to be there for.
There you go. We're getting it. Yeah. I just love that you guys are following what's in your heart and what you've been given, and that you're acting on it, even though, you know, it can be scary to say, okay, we're opening this up for free, but think of the amount of people we get to touch and impact. So, so cool. Thank you so much. And the link to be able to get signed up will be in the show notes. Go check that out. Go get it for free. This is an amazing resource for nuclear families or co-parenting families. I have women all the time. I work mostly with women that are like, hey, I need something. Do you have any suggestions? So I'm so happy to be able to have a resource, a trusted resource that they can go to utilize to help them as they navigate co-parenting.
Yeah, we're honored. And I think to join forces with you, we do, if you go to the webpage at the very bottom, there's tutorials through YouTube, and then you can schedule a 30-minute onboarding, and you can schedule as many as you want. Sometimes people need a little bit of vision of how they could possibly use it. Co-parenting can be overwhelming. And of course, women that are starting this journey, it can be even more overwhelming, or single parenting. And I will personally walk you on. I like to do that myself, walk you on, share your screen, make suggestions of how it can help, and just kind of identify some highlights that will benefit you in your co-parenting journey or your journey in organizing as a mom.
Love that so much. And if you're in group coaching, Ginger is going to be coming on a group coaching call. And I think it'd be awesome if a masterclass, if we had you walk through some of this when you're there, of like, hey, here's the overview, here's how to utilize it, bring your questions, and get really clear. So there's that opportunity too.
I would love it. I love it. I'm just so honored. I'm so honored, Justin. I love what you're doing. And I love how many women you touched around the world. It's just fantastic. I love it. I'm so honored to be working with you.
Thanks. Right back at you. Thank you for being here and for sharing your story and for acting on the things you feel prompted to do to change the world. It's a gift. And I'm so glad I got to connect with you today.
Thanks so much. Me too.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Husband Law Podcast. And just as a reminder, if you are interested in picking up Ginger's free app, you can go to the link in our show notes and pick that up. You can also find the links there to connect with Ginger on Instagram and via email. Also, as a reminder, if you are ready for support in your step-parenting journey, go check out the Stepmom Summit. If you are a stepdad, you are welcome there too. Go check it out. You will feel seen and supported. It is truly everything I wish I'd had when I started my step-parenting journey, and you can have it right now for free. Go get signed up. Link is in the show notes. Sending you love, my friend.